regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. Gotta be handy with the steel, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up!
It's Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. This is episode 018. If you keep the track, you are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. With me, as always, sitting way over there doing the social distance thing like a good citizen, is my good friend Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm well, on yourself?
Oh, I'm doing all right. But I tell you, man, this week has kicked my ass.
Really? That happens to you?
Oh, it happens. I feel like I might have said that last week as well, but it's true again this week.
Yeah, I always assume that when you're not talking to me on the phone during the show, that you're just short of in a cape and in tights doing Superman, doing super stuff.
Well, let me drop a little story on you here. Sunday,
I like story time.
So Sunday, I went home to see the family, and I was coming home Sunday evening, Sunday night. It was around, I don't know, 8:30, I think, or so. And the way I decided to come home, and this means nothing to the people listening unless they're familiar with the area, but I took like a Highway 28 to get to the interstate, and to get there, you got to go through this little place called Milford. But Milford has like this. A really nice bypass that you can do to get around it, and it's like brand new tarmac, and it's just every time I'm on there, I feel like, you know, you just want to put the hammer down. It's nice highway.
All right.
So another part of this story, something that I hate. I hate these. I envision this is just totally me. Envisioning, you know, who I think they are, but these little snotty nosed, just redneck hill jacks who buy these big pickup trucks and then jack them up. You know, you've seen them jack them up. Put on the ridiculously big
tires.
Monster truck tires and the super loud muffler. Yeah,
and it's like climbing a horse to get in the car.
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's like everywhere they go, it's like, but it's just because those tires are so ridiculous. There's just no. You know, they don't have any torque because the tires are so ridiculously big. But anyway, as I was approaching Milford and this bypass, one of those guys started fucking with me. You know, being at the red lights and revving the engines and all that kind of stuff.
So, quick question: how do you know it was directed at you? Maybe there was another car on the other side.
Or
one of those things where you had to be there.
Well, here's why I think that, and I'm not, and trust me, people, I'm not bragging or anything, because there are plenty of other cars out there that's way nicer than mine. Mm-hmm. But my car tends to draw a lot of attention, and a lot of the attention people see it, and a lot of times they want to race it.
You know what? I mean, this has been a common theme with you in that, like the other car, you know, how it would get all the women if it wasn't for you or something like that.
Yeah.
What was that phrase you used to say?
I think it's when I had the Infiniti and it's, you know, like, talking about picking up babes. And I was like, yeah, look at that car. That car would get so much. We'd get so much action if it wasn't for me.
You know, he said something about, like, you know, panties hitting the windshield wipers because the car is.
I don't believe I ever spoke like that, Joe.
You know what? That probably was my drunken imagination. Could not have been the, you know, upstand. But one other quick point of clarification. You used a phrase that I've heard you use before, but maybe not everyone else has.
Okay.
What's a hill jack, Brian?
Oh, a hill jack is just one of those. Well, let's see.
And is it different than a redneck and a hillbilly?
Yeah, you know, I kind of blend them all together.
Because I always thought that redneck came from a slightly further south than Milford.
That's fair. That may be fair, but you still got that dumbass mentality. I think that just kind of pervades.
Hill jacked him.
Yeah.
Is it hill jacked him or hill?
I just don't know.
Anyway, I just had to ask that question, and it's nice to know that some things never change. Brian's car is still an attention whore, so to speak.
It is, yes.
What's the name of it again?
I haven't named it.
Really?
Oh, you mean the type of car?
Yeah.
it's a BMW M2. It's an M2 model. So
wait, you don't have a name for it? I thought there was a name for it.
Oh yeah, I call it the Bavarian Beast.
Oh yeah, that sounds more like it. All right.
Okay. I did name it. What the fuck? How did I not think of that?
The crazy thing is, you were there.
Yeah. I did it. So there I was with the Bavarian Beast, and there's this truck next to me just, you know, revving and showing his ass. And so I just annihilated it right off the line, just boom. And then we got to the bypass, and so we got on the bypass and he tried it again, and again I just annihilated him, just left him behind. And so as I'm going by there, off to the right, the red and blues light up.
What? Oh no.
Yeah.
And so, like, okay, in my mind's eye, this story ends by, you know, you give up, you know, you thinking you're about pulling over, but then you realize that, you know, you'd be missing the race, or, you know, some aspect of your life would be inconvenienced by stopping for the nice guys in blue. And so you end up, like, you know, dropping the hammer again, and you end up, like, what, pulling into a barn, the cops drive past you, and then you go home and, like, you can tell this story. That's how the story ends in my mind.
It's like you were there.
Holy crap.
Did I tell you this already?
My man. But so how did it really end? That's my mind, my mind's eye.
Yeah, so I slowed down. I knew sometimes you just gotta know when you're caught, and I was caught. So. Yeah.
Sometimes they get you.
Yeah, so I pulled off and pulled off into some parking lot of this restaurant, and the guy comes up, and he was for the most part pleasant. At first he was kind of like, you know, let me see the hands, let me see your license. I was reaching for the glove box to get my insurance and registration, but he was like,
you
I don't
die, man.
He's like, I don't need that. I was like, huh? So yeah,
that's also the place where apparently all criminals keep their guns. Just so you
and of course he pulled, and of course the you know why I pulled you over?
You know, see, you're a better person than I am, because I'd have been like, officer, I mean, if I had anything in my lap, I would have threw it into my lap and made sure it was good and obvious that I was wet my lap, and be like, yeah, I was on my way to use the restroom. I just made a mistake, you know, a terrible mess.
He ended up tagging me, and I really I can't believe he let me go home that night. But he hit me with doing 100 in a 55.
Oh my god!
And the thing is if he would have like been another half a mile down the road, I would have easily, because I was easily on my way to 120, 125.
Shame on you, Brian.
I know.
Quick question. Was the guy who was the hill jack, was he even in the rearview mirror anymore?
Barely.
Yeah, see, that's what we call overkill, man.
It was overkill.
I'm sorry. Well, so wait a minute. So you escaped this without, you know, taking it?
Well, I didn't get to jail that night. I did get a ticket.
Yeah.
And so I contacted one of those attorneys that are supposed to specialize in I told the guy, it's pretty cut and dry, you know, but you know, if you can, cause I think that I've read that for that kind of an offense.
Yeah. That's reckless driving.
He told me, my partner here wants me to give you reckless driving, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And so,
I
could get like 6 points. I could get 6 points on the license, I think, from this.
Yeah.
But the funny, as I was leaving, he motioned for me to roll my window down again. And he's like, I've been doing this for 26 years. He said, this is the fastest ticket I've ever given. And I was just kind of, I was like, I don't know, what do I say to that, you know? We've got this bond, buddy, or something like that. I don't know. I didn't know what to say. He's like, I don't mean to make light of your bad situation, but just wanted to. And then he was like, oh, is that, you know, it's a really nice car. I wish I could drive it and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it is a nice car, but I guess it belongs in Germany.
Yeah, the nice car gets you in trouble.
Yeah, I knew that this day was coming, so...
I mean, once again, you know, Brian touches another life. This cop of 26 years of drudgery, you know, this is the fastest ticket I've ever hit me. Yeah.
He can retire now.
Yeah. You've served the good patrol. Now go home and relax.
Yeah, so... There you go. I've got an attorney on the case, and I think really what I'm doing is I'm paying this attorney because to pull strings, because you know he knows everybody and it's kind of like he's going to try to just see if he can because he knows the prosecutors and everything. So I think really what you're buying is kind of like access or someone who might. Yeah. Has access to the prosecutors and maybe can put a friendly mention in their ear or something like that. Yeah, so
you're buying justice, man.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. My court date is September 9th, but he said he'd take care of that. And then we might, I think trial would be maybe in October or so. So yeah, I wanted to. So that was that. I'm lucky because I could very easily see, you know, if that cop would have been in the wrong mood or something, man.
Or had he listened to the other cop?
Or listened to that other. I was like, you know, I didn't say it, but I was like, man, fuck you, other cop.
Oh yeah, bastard.
So that's funny. I mean, it's not. No, it's not funny, but.
It's funny, boo-hoo.
I knew it was going to happen. So anybody out there listening, man, I got an M2 that I'll sell on the cheap because I can't drive this car anymore.
I think maybe we should do like a PSA that you can say like, hey, you know what? Your attorney will be like, yeah, my client's very, you know, remorseful, and he does a podcast that's listened to by millions of people.
And
maybe you should just like do like
Slow down, PSA.
Yeah, PSA. Like, hey, you know what? I was a professional train driver, and even I got caught. And just don't, because these cops are here. Sorry, these police officers of the law are here, and I think that could go a long way for lightening whatever sentence that you might otherwise get.
I'll mention it to the guy next time I talk to him.
Yeah.
So, Joe. What'd the bartender bring you tonight, man?
Well, I have a strawberry orange margarita.
And, I need your bartender, man.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. What? I'm sorry. Before I say yes, you do. What are you drinking, Ryan?
Yeah. I'm drinking coffee. I'm running on fumes, so I'm hoping that this cup can push me over the finish line tonight.
Seems like somebody doesn't want to sleep tonight. Wait a minute, how are you going to run on fumes and drink coffee and then try to go to bed afterwards? Silence, crickets. Okay, I'm just making sure what we're dealing with here. That's all.
I don't always think things entirely through, Joe.
But now that I think about it, I think that was my idea. Like, hey, maybe you should drink some coffee.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to hear you whining about being tired all night. Get some coffee.
I'm just so tired, blah blah blah. It was. No. Well, we all need some extra pep in our step, so.
Yeah.
From time to time. So, what do we have in tow today?
Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I thought we'd start off, as always, doing some updates on the first two cases that we ever covered on this podcast, and that would be the Ahmaud Arbery case, and we got a little update on George Floyd as well. So you've got the Arbery update, and so I'll turn that over to you. What's happening?
Let's see here. And so... Yeah, this is one of those things that just keeps there's always more. So GA County, where Ahmaud Arbery was shot, is suing over police abolishing vote. And let's see here, the commissioners of the coastal Georgia County, where black man Ahmaud Arbery was fatally shot after being pursued by armed white men, are suing to stop a referendum on abandoning the county police department. The Glenn County Commissioner filed a lawsuit on Friday, according to the Brunswick News. The report said the lawsuit argues that a state law mandating the vote, the November vote, is unconstitutional. The referendum would seek to abolish the county police agency and hand law enforcement authority over to the sheriff. So basically what happened was after the shooting of Mr. Arbery, I guess some folks got together and said, hey, maybe we need to abolish the police agency that allowed for this to occur. Any thoughts on that? Just off the top? And I'll go a little bit further.
Well.
What was your initial thought?
Well, I'll be honest. I wondered initially if there is really, besides geographically, if there is really a connection between this vote and what happened. Or, I mean, was this vote a result of what happened, or is it just happening to occur in the same place that this murder happened at the beginning of the year? That was my initial thoughts.
I think I can speak to that.
Okay.
State lawmakers approved the binding referendum in the spring after Arbery's February shooting death. Through the referendum effort, though the referendum effort has its roots in scandals that took place earlier. The Glenn County commissioners have opposed the effort, saying two local Republican lawmakers are trying to help their political ally, Sheriff Neil Jump. Okay, some little bit of a intrigue there. Arbery was shot on February 23rd when a white father and son armed themselves and pursued the unarmed 25-year-old man who was running in their neighborhood, according to authorities. More than 2 months passed before Gregory McMichael and son Travis McMichael were charged with a felony murder and an aggravated assault. The third man, William Roddy Ryan, a neighbor of McMichael's, who also, who authorities say joined the pursuit of Arbery and recorded the cell phone video of the shooting, was also subsequently charged with murder. All right.
We've known all that stuff. So, I guess I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion really. I initially was like, well, the cops didn't shoot the guy, didn't shoot Ahmed. It was these two other guys. But then you made the point that the cops did let the guys stay in their own bed that night. I don't know. We're seeing this all over the country, though, right? People trying to abolish the police. What are your initial thoughts?
Well, at first I was like, yeah, like what's going on here? But as I, you know, as you just said, like as I read it, I thought to myself, if someone were to say, yeah, the cops in that place were, you know, asleep at the wheel or asleep at the switch, you'd have to say, yeah, that seems to be the case because, I guess we both saw the video, and maybe the cops didn't see the video, but to me, there was ample evidence that a crime, to suggest that a crime may have been committed, and that perhaps they should, you know, do a little bit more investigating before allowing everybody to go home and sleep in their bed that night. So,
right.
So the idea that, okay, you guys, somebody's dead in the street, and, you know, like, it's like the Keystone Cops, or, you know, the cops that can't shoot straight. Like, how did this happen? And so I think, you know, it's probably, I mean, yeah, you know, if an agency screws up really bad, maybe it should be on the table that the agency is dissolved. I think that actually might be a good thing overall.
I can't argue with that. What do you? I don't know, man. I think that people are ultimately going to. If this ever. Well, you know, actually, let's go back to that story. You said that they wanted to dissolve this and put the responsibility to the sheriff. So, is there a big difference between the police department and the sheriff's department?
Well, presumably the police department is located in the county in which the sheriff already patrols. It's kind of like how there's Cincinnati police, but they're also like Hamilton County police.
Right.
And so it'd be, well, I've not been to the area, but I'm assuming it would be just, you know, it wouldn't go from them having police and then them going to being absolutely lawless, but it would just be, you know, different cops rolling around.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, if it's really just a case of we see negligence and the only way to get rid of it is to root it out entirely, yeah, go for it.
Well, I mean, there's that element, but I guess there's the other element where I guess, like they said in the story, somebody's trying to help out their political buddy, but
yeah, local politics in the South. Imagine that there's corrupt. Well. Local politics anywhere. I say the South, but it's rampant everywhere. But people, you know, they get their, like I think we mentioned it before, you know, they get their own little fiefdom and think that they are their own, they're almost their own entity and can do whatever they want. And they do for years until something happens.
Well, it's funny. I talked to somebody who was a district attorney. And he's like, yeah, quite literally, for that area, you are the law. And so we probably should do something on, if what happens when you are the man, you know, like I can't think that, it, you know, being the man like that for too long and for too long and extreme can be good for your psyche over the long haul.
Yes, I agree. I would think that if I was the man, that I would keep all my shenanigans on the down low and not draw attention to myself. But
yeah, you think, but you then think. You're the man, and then, you know, just decision making and just, yeah, skills just go out the window. Apparently,
exactly.
So okay, it could happen to you. Well, what's happened with George?
Well, this is the prosecution. I think is just. I'm just afraid that they're. I mean, we already lamented the fact that they might be overcharging to result in an acquittal, but they're amping it up even more. This is from the TMZ, so you know, take that with a grain of salt, mm-hmm. I guess. But George Floyd case, you killed him in front of kids. Prosecutors seeking harsher sentence. Derek Chauvin, the ex-Minneapolis cop charged with murdering George Floyd, deserves an especially hard sentence because, among other things, he killed Floyd in front of kids, according to prosecutors.
Well, I mean, it's funny because you're right. We've been following this, and it seems that the prosecution at every term is trying to drop the ball. First, this overcharging piece, what?
No, I think that's a great way of putting it. They're trying to purposefully drop the ball.
Yeah, first the overcharging piece, and then they were trying to get all the officers charged together and have one trial. Remember that?
Yep.
And then wait. Instead of him going to jail for, 40 years, we want to go to jail for 45 years because he shot him because he took shot in front of kids.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that, I mean, I think this guy should literally have the book thrown at him. I think he should probably go in a place so far in from natural sunlight that, I know my pop used to say they have to mail him sunlight.
nice.
But, I mean, I think that's a stretch. I mean, so that we're clear, throw the book at the guy, but don't drop the case while trying to get him in for, 80 years or something like that. Don't do that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. As we always say, we'll keep following and let you know.
Yes. I like it. So, let's see here. Once again, maybe we should have talked about your racing. Not racing.
No, we talked about racing, all right.
Well, but I think something else about racing is supposed to be coming down the pike, right?
So F1 has been invaded by the Black Lives Matter Incorporated, I believe.
All right.
And number one of that is Lewis Hamilton, who's the number one driver for Mercedes. He's multiple world champion.
He's like social justice warrior number one.
He is social justice warrior number one. In the lead up to last weekend's F1 race, I guess the NBA went on hold again because a lot of the players refused to play.
Makes sense to me.
And so people were wondering, hey, Lewis Hamilton, are you going to not drive because, to be in solidarity with everyone else? No, not going to.
He's not going to drive, or he's not going to be in solidarity with everyone else.
He's going to drive. He drove.
Oh, cool. Right.
And he's not. And so it's Lewis Hamilton stands unified with boycotting athletes, but will still race at the Belgian Grand Prix. And so it goes on. Lewis Hamilton has lauded the incredible boycotts of sporting events in the United States after the shooting of Jacob Blake, but said that it would achieve little if he did the same at Sunday's Belgium Grand Prix. And it's really just kind of goes on and is all flowery about Lewis and his stance on everything, but I don't care. The fact of the matter is he's shooting for another world championship, and if he didn't race that weekend, he would be forfeiting 25 points. And
can't have that.
Yeah, and there's
that was a cause until it cost him 25 points. We all have a price in it.
Yeah. So I'm just positive that he can say what he wants, but at the end of the day, he's if every driver wasn't going to, you know, if every driver wasn't going to sit down, he wasn't going to sit down. There's no way that he was going to let the race go on without him.
Well, I mean, it seemed like last time F1 stopped was because he was, you know, he came out and he basically forced him to stop, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, when I first heard this story, I laughed to myself. Sounds like Mr. Hamilton has a mortgage payment he wants to make, or something like that.
Yeah, quite possibly. But as always, and again, I want to point out to everyone listening is, yeah, he might run around here screaming Black Lives Matter, and he may be dead sincere about that. I don't know, but it's the LGBT community that gets all the publicity.
What you say? Can't argue with that. I mean, it seemed like he's like their front guy, or maybe he's like their mascot.
It's bizarre to me, dude. Because he screams Black Lives Matter all the time, but if you watch an F1 race, all you see is the rainbow everywhere. So, anyway.
It's somebody got to call it out, man.
And that's me.
Here with bells. Present.
All right, so we've got another crazy white guy with a gun running around causing havoc.
Must be Thursday.
And yeah, and his name is Kyle Rittenhouse, or as you pointed out last week, he reminds you of the Frisch's big boy guy.
Yeah.
Which is, that's funny. It makes me kind of want a big boy. So yeah, this I don't know, this is another episode in this soap opera that we're being guided down, I think. But tell us about it. I'm sure everyone knows, but as you stated, let's put down like a base of facts that we can kind of bounce off of. So, what are we looking at here?
And I am. Let's see here. I just want to make sure. All right, cool. So, I lost the story for a second, but thankfully I was able to pull it up. Let's see here. So. We're talking about the shooting that happened in Wisconsin. We just pulled up an article, and we're just going to go through it, okay? And then from there we'll have a little, you know, back and forth and see what we think about it. So let's see here. First question: who is Mr. Kyle Rittenhouse? Mr. Rittenhouse was arrested early. Was arrested early Wednesday in his hometown of Antioch, Illinois, which is about 30 minutes southwest of the protest in Kenosha, just over the state line. Multiple posts on his social media accounts proclaimed support for pro-police causes like Blue Lives Matter movement and Humanize the Badge, a nonprofit that he ran a Facebook fundraiser for on his 16th birthday. His posts also suggest a strong affinity for guns, with videos showing Mr. Rittenhouse taking backyard target practice, posing with guns, and assembling a weapon. Many details about both his background and his motivation for walking around the Kenosha protest carrying a military-style semi-automatic weapon are still emerging. So, that's him. A 17-year-old kid has an affinity for guns, the police, and apparently shooting people. But that's me. Thoughts thus far, Mr. Newman?
So far, nothing illegal. And I, as you was reading off those descriptions, while I don't know his my friend's political affiliation, I grew up with a guy who matches that description pretty accurately.
Actually, I think we talked about him in a few shows ago. I think maybe we were offline.
We may have been offline because he's a. And you know what? Just because I'm saying he reminds me of him, that's not necessarily a good thing. but from what you've read, okay, he likes the cops, he likes guns.
I mean, if you went to a high school with more than 100 people in it, you knew at least one of these guys.
Yeah. So. So far I'm not impressed, but
nothing shocking.
Nothing shocking.
Okay. And so we're going to break this up from here on, before the shootings, the first shooting, and the second shooting. Okay. Foreshadowing for us. Before the shootings, about 2 hours before the first shooting, a producer of the video live streamed interviews with Mr. Rittenhouse at a Kenosha vehicle dealership. Mr. Rittenhouse is there at the same time with several other armed men. Some of them are positioned on the building's roof overlooking the parking lot where vehicles were burned the previous day. Right, so there's some interviews of him before the shooting and a brief exchange in the live stream. He identifies himself as Kyle. In another interview, Mr. Rittenhouse speaks with Richie McGinnis, a video editor at the Daily Caller, a conservative news and opinion site. Mr. Rittenhouse says that he is here to protect the businesses. He calls it his job, although there's no indication that he was ever asked to guard the site. Later, he claims to another videographer that he was pepper sprayed by someone in a nearby crowd while protecting property. And most of the footage the Times has reviewed from before the shooting, Mr. Rittenhouse is in the area. He also offers medical assistance to protesters. About 15 minutes before the first shooting, police officers drive past Mr. Rittenhouse and other armed civilians who claim to be protecting the dealership and offer water out of appreciation. Mr. Rittenhouse walks up to the police vehicle carrying his rifle and talks with the officers. He eventually leaves the dealership and is barred by police from returning. 6 minutes later, footage shows Mr. Rittenhouse being chased by an unknown group of people into a parking lot of another dealership several blocks away. What say you? What catches your attention there?
Well, when they was first setting up this narrative, they didn't just say it, but you've seen it quite a bit. It's just, wannabe militias showing up to, in their minds, I'm guessing, fill in, the cops can't be everywhere. And so they're going to, I guess they thought they would, and I know that I don't want this to sound like I'm being like their apologist or their PR person. I'm just... but I'm saying
right now you might as well be holding the Kenosha militia flag.
nothing is illegal yet, and I thought if anything they're going to get him for having a gun, but I looked up the Wisconsin law and 16 is the age for carrying a long rifle. 18 for a handgun, but it's 16 for a long rifle. So, still, he's not really breaking a law per se. Now,
yeah, it looks like you're saying.
And as far as the cops, just kind of like waving or whatever. I don't know. That may be inappropriate, or maybe they were appreciative. I don't know. So,
looks like Brian Cochran's on the case, man. Kyle's gonna walk.
if it don't fit, you got to quit. And I'm still working on that. I gotta figure out what we're talking about first. Yeah. But that's where I'm starting from. Is if it don't fit, you got to quit.
That's about as bad as that attorney we talked about a couple weeks ago back in Minnesota. Like, yeah, George Floyd killed himself.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to die.
Yeah. Not a very auspicious start to his defense.
All right, so go on. Read on, Joe.
All right, so first shooting. While Mr. Rittenhouse is being pursued by a group of unknown, an unknown gunman fires into the air.
Wait. You meant he was pursuing a group of people, right?
No, let's see here. Let me read again. While Mr. Rittenhouse is being pursued by a group, an unknown gunman fires into the air, though it is unclear why. The weapon muzzle flash appears in the footage filmed at the scene. Mr. Rittenhouse turns toward the sound of the gunfire as another pursuer lunges towards him from the same direction. Mr. Rittenhouse then fires four times and appears to shoot the man in the head. Shooting number one. So I guess he's running. And then he hears a gunshot coming from a direction, turns around and squeezes off four rounds, shoots a guy in the head. But something seemed to be missing.
Okay.
What happened between the time the cops gave him the water and the fact that he's now running from a bunch of protesters?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because something had to happen, like, you know. I mean, we're assuming, yeah, so that's it. You know, I guess we'll have to stick a fork on that one and come back to it. Let's see here. Okay, so, yeah. And so, thoughts now?
Again, my thoughts. I mean, if he's everything from this point is really going to just be hypotheticals, and I don't know if that's fair to make any kind of an argument over. But I'll just, you know, if he's being, I wonder if he's being chased, and let's say he dropped his gun, and then whoever that guy chasing him got hold of him. I wonder what would have happened.
So, I mean, do you think he would have been executed?
I think he would have got his ass kicked.
Well, yeah, I think he'd see, part of me says, like, you know, showing up to a protest with a gun and not having a badge, I think you kind of already kind of, you know, filled out the paperwork where you apply for your ass kicking.
Well, you've made point. You've alluded many times, and I've picked up on this. You have a problem with armed militias. I can tell.
Yeah, you know what? Have I been subtle about it?
So very subtle.
No, I mean I do.
And that's fair. Fair, but I think that. That has to guide your opinion in this case in some way.
Yeah, I do. Because my thing is, and I think I said this last week. It's plainly just begging for trouble. I mean, who sat down and said, yeah, we're gonna go out and protect the car dealership, and only good things can come from this. Really, I mean, the thing is, like, okay, so you're telling me that Kyle and his buddies love that car dealership so much that they would go and then cross state lines so they can defend a car dealership. I mean, to me, it's clear I think they wanted those types of people want to shoot somebody and are looking for an excuse to. And that's probably how I, that's why I am so uncompromising with maybe not even militia groups in general, but militia groups that say, you know, we're going to go out of our way. We're going to cross the state line so we can, you know, so we can be in the action.
Well, that's quite a bit of mind reading right there.
No. I mean, it is quite evident that, you know, they got in their cars and they drove across state lines.
But you presume to know their reasoning.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, their reasoning was to quote unquote protect businesses, right? Now, I mean, I mean, you're right, and this is something that I talked about that I typically try to stay away from, and that is, you know, trying to, you know, climb into somebody's head and attribute a reason or a meaning to what I consider a boneheaded move.
Right.
And so, yeah, that, you know, in this case, I'm breaking that rule, and it's good, and I appreciate that you are calling me out for it, but I think that is the case. What you were saying?
No. I'm just saying, I think you're creating this narrative, but there could be 100 other narratives out there that are equally as plausible. What if one of the guys in this militia knew the owner of the car lot?
And I believe that if that were the case, we would hear about that by now. I don't believe that in 2020, the owner of Big Bob's car lot calls up some of his militia buddies to help protect his car lot, and then we not hear about that by now. And so, yeah, I will grant you the idea that, okay, yeah, these guys wanted to shoot somebody so they wouldn't put themselves in the position to go shoot somebody. That might be a stretch. To my mind, a short stretch. Not a very long stretch, but I don't cut to you guys any slack. None zero.
Well, that's fair, but let me say this. You know, we've had these militias showing up all summer long, and they've never killed anyone. We've got that husband and wife in St. Louis who pulled their guns out, didn't shoot anyone. This is, as far as I know, like the first real instance where one of these militia guys killed people.
Well,
and I'm gonna say that this is just the beginning. That we're going to see more and more of this.
And that's the other thing. Like, I remember I was re-listening to the last week's show, and I think your very first comment was something to the effect of, you know, a lot of the conservative types and the militia guys have been surprised that this hasn't happened before. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're surprised that this hasn't happened before, to me, means that it was foreseeable that it could happen. And so that to me even makes even, you know, that's even more damning to me, is if, you know, if you're sitting around wondering, you're like, oh my God, did you hear what happened? I'm surprised that didn't happen before. That to my mind means it's foreseeable, which means the people who showed up there with their guns, you know, that's probably why I get to that, you know, they wanted to shoot people, because, you know, you said it's surprising that it hasn't happened before. It's foreseeable. I mean, a reasonable person could sit back and say, if there's a protest and a bunch of guys who are not trained show up with guns, it's reasonable to foresee that somebody's going to get hurt. And so, yeah, I am against. Yeah, it's naked with me. I can't even, you know, I can't even pretend that I'm not against these guys to the degree in which I am.
I've been letting you get away with this.
Uh-oh.
And I'm going to just point this out, but you've been using the term protester very loosely, and I just got to state that if these are protesters, they need to stop wearing rioters' uniforms.
Well, you mean like a face mask?
No, I mean they need to stop tearing shit down and burning things and causing havoc.
So the two people that were shot, Do we have their fingerprint on, let's say, a Molotov cocktail, or do we have any reason to believe that those guys, the ones that he shot, were engaged in any type of illegal or, you know, destructive behavior?
No.
Huh.
I'll just be honest with you. If I had a, and you know me, I don't even want to kill. I don't want to kill nobody.
Yeah.
I'm pro Second Amendment, but I don't have a gun.
Yeah,
I don't want to kill anybody. If I had a gun, and people were bearing down on me with the intent of kicking my ass, I don't know what I'd do. I would quite possibly. I don't know. It's. I don't know, man. I'm not convinced that he went there with the intent to kill. And I'm sure, yeah, there are people that do, but I don't think that he was one necessarily. And but yeah, right or wrong, I'm not saying that it's right, but when I said that this is going to happen again, I'm not endorsing it, but I'm telling you that it's going to happen.
Oh no, I did not take you as endorsing it, but I'm just saying that, you know, if a reasonable person, Brian, can look at this and say, you know what, you know, it's surprising this hasn't happened again. It served as a warning to people in the future that, you know, maybe instead of showing up with our with guns, maybe we should just show up with signs. Because once you have this happen, you can't say, well, we didn't know that we could end up shooting people. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. So
I don't think that's necessarily what I was advocating. But
well, you were saying that. I mean, I was going to make it.
When you bring guns to something like that, then yes, yeah, absolutely, the possibility of death is there. But
let me speak to your point. Mm. You said you don't know if in a similar situation, if people were bearing down on you, and you had a gun, and you saw the ass kicking that was coming your way, that you might, you know, fire off a few shots, right?
Yes.
Maybe not even intending to kill people, but I think there's a difference between you sitting home in your home chilling, and people are, you know, outside your door banging down the door, bearing down on you. That's a different scenario than you getting in your car, driving a half an hour to 45 minutes away from your home to go put yourself in a place where there's going to be people bearing down on you. And just, yeah. Because it was foreseeable, to me, his ability to claim defense in that, you know, he was just defending himself. I think that is not totally out the window, but I think his ability to claim that is dramatically reduced. That's why it's important for me to understand what happened immediately prior to the first shooting, because we just skip from before the shooting till after the first shooting, and with no idea what happened in between. And I think what happens in between is critical to understanding whether his culpability was criminal or not. If that makes sense. But let's see here. Second shooting. Any other comments? I'm sorry.
No.
Second shooting, Mr. Rittenhouse seems to make a phone call and then flees the scene. Now, if he's a cop, cop wannabe, he probably should be, you know, fleeing the scene. But that's another point. Several people.
Here come now. Now we're getting narrative on the story.
Well, yeah. That's, you know, a Joe High original. That was me. That was all me. Several.
Okay.
Several people chase him, shouting, "That's the shooter." As Mr. Rittenhouse is running, he trips and falls on the ground. This kind of like how people trip and fall in horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy has an answer. He fires four shots as three people rush towards him. Now, mind you, I'll stop. I'm going to stop the narrative. One person appears to be hit in the chest and falls to the ground. Another, who is carrying a gun, is hit in the arm and runs away. Mr. Rittenhouse's gunfire is mixed with the sound of at least 16 other gunshots that rang out during this time. All right, so that's the second shooting.
Okay.
So in this one, he's running, I guess, after killing the first guy. He's running, and I think if you watch somebody shoot somebody else, so whatever, he's running, and he trips, falls, and three other people approach him, and he fires four more shots. Actually, pretty good shot, you know, 3 out of 4. And that's where we have two other people hit and hurt. Comments, questions, concerns?
I would say that if you see a guy shoot and kill someone with a gun and then he leaves, don't chase him.
You know what? That's those are pretty good rules to survive by. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't argue with that. I know the person who did the filming ran alongside him. That couldn't have been me.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that couldn't have been me. But so first shooting, so something happens. He fires, kills the guy. Okay, something happens. We don't know what it was. And some of the other stories I've heard says he was in a scuffle or a tussle or somebody that fires his first burst of four, kills somebody. And then from there, I guess he's like, you know, man on the run, so to speak. And while he's running, he trips and then shoots three other people. I mean, you know, maybe, you know, people have all sorts of affinities for things, but maybe, you know, Mr. Rittenhouse should have found a different thing to be enamored with. Maybe, I don't know, baking because, yeah, it seemed like, you know, him and guns don't mix.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I mean.
Okay.
Questions, comments, or nothing?
No comment.
Right. Police response. As this happened, police vehicles just one block away remained stationary during the gunfire. Mr. Rittenhouse walks with his hands up toward the police vehicles. Bystanders call out to the police that he had just shot people. Police drive by him without stopping and go on to assist victims. After the shootings, local officials announced a 7 p.m. curfew will continue until Sunday, and Wisconsin's governor, what's-his-face, said that he was sending in hundreds of more members of the National Guard to Kenosha. So that's what we have.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've said everything that I have to say about this. Again, you know, it's unfortunate. I don't, you know, don't like the idea of people getting shot and killed, but this is where we've been heading all summer, I'm afraid. So we're here.
And that is true. We are here.
Yeah.
Alright. Okay, but just so that we can be clear about this. What do you think about the militiamen showing up? Good or bad?
It's within their rights. This is still a free country. We are an armed citizenry. I think they have every right to be there as much as someone has a right to be there to protest.
And so you don't see that in any way as incitement?
If anything, it could be a cause to the opposite of incitement. It's the words are escaping me, but
like
you know, you see if you see a if you see 15 armed men, you don't typically your first inclination is to go fuck with them.
No. Yeah, 15 armed men. I think 15 armed men almost in any context screams incitement. Yeah, sorry. 15 men, armed men, in the absence of a badge. Yeah, 15 armed men with no badge or, you know, military insignia, official military insignia. Your instinct isn't to go and pick a fight with them, but I don't think they have a calming effect on anything. In fact, our men in any place have the very opposite effect of soothing or calming. But
the Cuomo brother said on CNN or whatever, who says that riots are supposed to be peaceful? You know.
I think just as you pointed out that I was using the word protest loosely. I think you may be guilty of using the word riot loosely as well. Quick question: Was there any destruction of property? You may not know this, and it may not be known right now. Was there any destruction of property on the night in question? In the vicinity of these guys?
You know what? I don't know, but I would almost bet a paycheck on it that there was.
I don't know. I mean, you think that, you think that there would be some mention. Once again, there'd be mention of, the looting and the burning on the night in question, right? That's something that we can know. That's knowable. And it hasn't come across her desk, so that's an open question on that one.
I think we got to, as far as this whole riot versus protest goes, I mean, you have to realize by now that any movement for justice has been hijacked by these people. Do not give a fuck about Blake being shot, George Floyd being shot. These people have no interest in that. They're there for one reason, and that is to sow discord.
Well, I would agree with you on that. The people who go out and say, you know what, there is a protest, which means the cops are busy. Let's go rob a liquor store or commit some other heinous crime. Yeah, those people aren't there for justice, and I think you should not confuse those people for criminals, which it seems as if you might be doing.
Criminals, thugs, whatever.
Well, I mean, yeah. So yeah,
future criminals.
Well, no, they're criminal. Once you go and shoot somebody, you graduated to criminal. Like the example of the article you sent me with all those people being shot up and stuff like that. Those people were criminals who were taking advantage, who were being opportunists. I don't think it's fair to conflate the protesters with opportunist criminals. That's not fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, and it'd be like, if we're having a protest, and around the block from my protest, my protest, somebody decides that they're going to knock over a liquor store. I don't think it's fair for you to be like, yeah, if you didn't have that protest, the liquor store wouldn't have been knocked over, right?
And if that happened, would you immediately take to the microphone and say I denounce what that thug around the corner did in my name? Would you do that?
Oh hell yeah! But I mean, the thing is with this thing is that can you point to a leader of this? I can't.
There's got to be a leader.
No, there does not have to be a leader. There are plenty of examples in history where there is no specific leader, but there's a guiding ideology that is But I mean, what I think I hear you saying is that Ryan Cochran is convinced that his client, Mr. Rampaging Rittenhouse, should walk free, and that there was no crime there, and he was well within his rights to gun down all those protesters. Is that what I hear you saying? Of course not.
Not in such inflammatory words.
Oh, quick question.
The prosecutors obviously agree with you because they charged him with like 6 counts of something or other. So he'll definitely go to court.
And this is what I was telling you about earlier. Well, I think that was last week. I am convinced that Mr. Rittenhouse will spend little or no time in an actual prison.
Right.
I think he's going to be by the hook or by the crook. He's going to get a pardon, either by the governor of Wisconsin or by Donald Trump himself if he gets if the thing goes to trial and Donald Trump is still in the White House. I don't see him getting jail time for this, unfortunately. Well, okay, quick question. So this is something that we come down on separate issues on, separate sides of the fence on, correct? And is it your position that obviously no crime was committed here and that any type of prosecution would be unwarranted? Or do you think, well, there may have been a crime here and the justice system is going to work out and you'll be happy with the resolution is?
I'll accept whatever the resolution is.
But is your first instinct that there was no crime committed as well?
You know, I can't say that. I don't know the I'm not that well versed in the laws or the laws of Wisconsin, mate. But as far as I think his shootings were in self defense, and I think it's going to be hard to prove that it wasn't.
See, and this is probably a good thing for us to draw on stark relief as well. I believe that the second shootings I think there's probably a higher likelihood of the second shootings being in self-defense, but I don't know enough about the first shooting yet. And so I'm going to go back and review some tape, and I'm going to see if I can, see what happened there. But I think that the second shooting, if you see it and you see the guy, running and people saying, yeah, get him. Now, mind you, he just shot somebody in the head.
Right.
So if let's say that the guy, the 77-year-old guy that was shot in St. Louis. Okay. So, you're familiar with that story, correct?
Is that the one that I referenced last week but didn't know the name? Dorn?
Yeah. I was like, I can't speak to it. I did not know about it, and thank you for informing me. But let's say the guy who shot him, let's say the guy shot him and then was running away on foot, okay? And a group of people saw him shoot the guy and saw him running away on foot and tried to try to stop him. In the process, if that guy shot three other people, would you claim that he's acting in self defense as well?
Yeah, I guess I would.
Well,
if we're going to start making up stories.
I'm just trying to put a, because like, if I guess my thing is, let's see here. Yeah, I did put up a story that is somewhat fanciful, but the thing is that the first guy gets shot in the head. We don't know, how that occurred.
We don't know why he was chasing a guy with a gun.
I don't know that we. I don't know the first.
I made you repeat it. You reread it.
Let me go back to that. The first.
You said that he was being chased by a group of people, and I said, wait. You mean he was chasing a group of people?
Yes. I remember you saying that now. That while Mr. Rittenhouse is being pursued by a group, an unknown gunman. Right, so, yes, he was being chased.
So, again, don't chase people with guns.
Yeah. That's not a stroke. It's not a stroke. I'm not experiencing a stroke. I'm far too young for that. Okay, maybe that might be a good place to, you know, moral of the story for today's show, September 3rd, is don't chase people with guns.
Amen, brother. Amen.
But we are going to revisit this.
All right. Sounds good. So we're running at around 110 right now.
Is that before or after the 20?
That's subtracting 20.
Oh, snap.
So what are you thinking?
I think we probably ran a little bit long on that piece, but I think it was a good exercise for us to go through. What do you got for Skullduggery? And we can do that next week.
This week in Skullduggery, I know, because even I am take it for granted, but we have, and I don't know about every single country out there, but of the big countries out there, we are the only country that truly has, in the technical sense of the word, free speech.
Okay.
And I don't think people even really realize that. But when you hear a story like this, and then you just try to imagine, or I try to imagine, what if that happened here? What would we do? And so let me read this to you. This is down in the land down under, Australia.
Aussie land.
Do you have a good Australian accent for me, Joe?
Good day, mate. No, not at all.
I like it.
Good day. No, not at all. Zero.
The arrest of a woman in Australia for promoting I just love the way this is written. The arrest of a woman in Australia for promoting an anti-lockdown protest online has drawn criticism after video of the incident went viral. Footage shows officers handcuffing pregnant woman Zoe Lee Buller, 28, in her home in Victoria on Wednesday in front of her partner and children.
Lock her up.
Yeah.
How many months was she?
Doesn't say yet, but I'll bet they will. She starts crying during the arrest, telling police, "I didn't realize I was doing anything wrong." Authorities have defended the officers, saying they acted appropriately. Victoria has been in lockdown since July to curb a coronavirus outbreak that has fueled Australia's second wave.
Holy crap. She was busy.
Authorities have imposed stay-at-home rules and a curfew in Melbourne, the state capital. The lockdown has closed many businesses and banned gatherings around the state. Many people support the measures, but others oppose them, and they have been targeted by a fringe anti-lockdown movement. No, something went down my windpipe. Last week, Victoria Police warned it would arrest people for organizing protests in breach of the ban on gatherings. So what happened? The video, which was live streamed on Facebook and has been viewed over 2 million times, shows Miss Buller and her partner speaking to police in their home in the city of Ballarat. The Victoria police officers are seen with a warrant. When asked what the arrest is about, one officer says it's in relation to a Facebook post in relation to a lockdown protest you put on just that day. And a screenshot of Ms. Bueller's partner and child watching on during the arrest. Oh, I'm sorry. That was, never mind. Ms. Bueller, that was the description of an image that I don't have in this article. Ms. Bueller, who was wearing pajamas, then offers to delete her post. My two kids are here. I have an ultrasound in an hour, she says. This is ridiculous. I didn't realize I was doing anything wrong.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse, man.
Yeah, but the officers responded by telling her that she had been charged with incitement over a planned protest in Ballarat on Saturday. The event is part of a wider anti-lockdown rallies. So,
you know I just... Incitement. I like that.
Yeah, with words. Or, you know, with words or guns, I guess. Incitement is the
word of the day.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just, I say that, and I probably wouldn't like the answer that we get. Would we put up with being put in jail for things that we say online?
I don't think so.
I'd like to think that we would draw the line there, but you never know. But you know what? The thing is we'll never know, because while we do have a First Amendment in the sense that the government won't put you in jail, but the government has its big tech companies that do all the censoring for them. So.
So they outsource their censoring.
I think that either intentionally or not, I think that's a great way of putting it. So that was my skullduggery there. I find that kind of shitty, but this next one, which I headlined up. Processed chicken-like product. I think I probably got that from you, because I remember back when we used to regularly meet up in certain establishments and get wings. You would forego the boneless wings because you just didn't trust them.
There's no such thing as a boneless chicken wing. Like, to this very day, when I roll up through a Pizza Hut and they have a little meal deal, and they're like, oh, yeah, like, you know, this meal or boneless chicken wings. I'm like, yeah, I don't want something that doesn't exist.
Well, this dude, it looks like this dude in Nebraska agrees with you.
Yeah, a guy after my own heart. Nebraska man's boneless chicken wing rant goes viral. His ideas for a better name include wet tenders or saucy nugs. This guy must have been an engineer, because marketing was just not, yeah.
Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning and treating things as though they're normal. I go into nice family restaurants and I see people throwing this name around and pretending as though everything is just fine. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. We would be disgusted if a butcher was mislabeling their cuts of meats, but then we go around and pretending as though the breast of the chicken is its wing. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. It's just what's expected. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. We need to teach them that the wing of a chicken is from a chicken, and it's delicious. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders. We can call them wet tenders. We can call them saucy nugs or trash. We can take these steps and show the country that where we stand, and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long, and we know it because we feel it in our bones.
So, what say you?
I'm down with this guy. Now, I don't know that I'd hang out with this guy.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit too much free time on his hands.
Yeah, I couldn't be in a restaurant and with this guy, and then he decides to. He's going to take a stand now. I don't know about that, but
and by the picture of this guy, I mean,
yeah,
he could have stood for, you know, boneless chicken wings, or he could have been standing for something much, much, much darker.
Exactly. Awesome.
Today he decided chicken wings was what he was going to hang his hat on. But
wouldn't it be fun to, like, if he wrote like a manifesto? What other kind of things really get under his skin?
You know, I'm not sure if anyone would be safe than that. I mean, because
I'm gonna think about it.
Because I can empathize with the guy. Like, you know, it's funny that you remember that. I have not, will not, and never will order voluntarily boneless chicken wings, because it's just like, you know. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
so
funny.
When I saw this, it had to become part of the show today.
It's awesome.
So, well, I mean, did we get through it? Well, I guess we got through a lot of stuff, but not through.
Yeah, we have one big story that I envision is going to take a lot of time because I know that we're going to go off track a lot of the way. We're going to, maybe next week, folks, we're going to tell you the story about how these conversations of ours started, and you know, kind of like maybe chart our evolution and to where we are now, and to kind of to see where we are now versus how we were then. I know that I've definitely changed in my thoughts about various things.
And everybody loves a good old fashioned origin story. I mean, no story is complete without an origin story, really.
So. Yeah, we've gotten like three or four Batman origin stories already in the movies. It's like, yeah, we know how Batman became Batman. Just tell us a new story. But now everyone's got to do an origin story.
Yeah,
that's a good point, Joe. That's a good point.
I mean, we used to always talk about the legend that is Brian.
Mm.
So I mean,
yeah,
this story. It has been it's been begging to be towed, and once again, you know, down the rabbit hole, we're doing the hard work, and tune in, guys.
And you know what? I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to see, because as I was thinking about it, a lot of stuff that I had forgot surfaced, and I'm wondering if there are things that you had forgot that surfaced as well. I think it'll be a fun episode. I'm really looking forward to it.
And the crazy thing is that there's almost 100%. Oh, there's 100% certainty that there are things that I forgot, because,
right,
again, we were drinking all that time. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, that.
Although that's I'm going to give you a teaser. That's not entirely true. When we first started our little debates, I think we were at my desk at Ethicon Endosurgery.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And my desk was like clear out of the way. Like, nobody accidentally walked past my desk. You had to go there with purpose. And we would sit there and spend entire mornings debating the pros and cons of the Iraq wars and, yeah, and whatnot, man.
I don't recall that. I recall you you just being wrong about issues. Like, you know what, Brian? You're a cool dude, but, you know, so you could be wrong about this. I'm just going to, you know, take pity on you and just, like, just bring the light. That's how I remember it.
All right. Well, that's for another show, folks.
Another show. Holy smokes.
Yeah. So, as we've said, this is the third week, I think, that we are on YouTube. So like, share, subscribe, share, like, subscribe, whatever you do, order you do, just make sure you do all three.
We didn't do that at the top of the episode again.
I'm going to update the agenda so that we do that.
We went on the air.
You had one job, Brian. You had one job.
What effing job? No. You had a lot of jobs, dude. But yeah, cool. So yeah.
I gotta give Joe props. You have stepped up and like really taken ownership of the whole YouTube side of things, because you've even got like you've broken it down into chapters basically that you can click on timestamps and get right to it, which is that's just awesome.
Well, I mean we assume that people don't have a full hour and a half or 2 hours to bathe right. themselves in our wisdom, and so we break it up into digestible bite-sized nuggets for them, because
because we care about them that much. We care about the people that much.
That much.
And on that note, Joe.
Yes, Ryan.
Everybody knows what's coming, so I'm feeling a little shy now.
Nah, don't be shy. Let it flow.
This has been a good show. I've enjoyed it, and you know what? I think in 7 days we should do it again. What say you?
I think we should.
So it has been said. Let it be.
Amen.
All right, talk to you next week, Joe. Take care.
Next week, Brian. We'll do it again. Bye. If you know like I know, you don't want to step to this. It's the G-Funk era, funked out with a gangster twist. If you smoke like I smoke, then you're high like every day. And if your ass is a buster, 213 will wake you late.